Does this print come in a different color?
Theoretically, yeah. Is it your look, you want to have, you want that in another color?
Maybe. Unless you think that there's another top that might be better.
I mean, there are other tops in the store.
Okay, well, maybe you could, without being specific, and point me in the general direction of something that might be more suitable.
Well, it's not really up to me. And I am supporting my mother in this campaign.
Oh, yeah.
But if I were you, I might look for a blouse, maybe in this general area. Maybe a skirt and a jacket, maybe on this rack here. But again, it's all you, so.
Thank you, David.
For what? I didn't do anything.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We are a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about another episode of the series. We're going through the entire series in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me as always is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I am great. I'm ready to talk about some milk and...
Okay.
I don't even know what else.
No, we'll
some
find
raw
out.
Milk.
Okay.
I should say. Raw milk and some
we'll
candidates
out.
Or candidates or no, however else we were saying
right.
in the last
episode.
Right,
we already went through that last episode
right.
And we know that we don't know how to pronounce that. So
no.
Let's not use that word anymore. We'll just say office runners.
That sounds ridiculous.
Are you sure?
Okay. I am really sure.
Right. Yeah, so we are here to talk about the 8th episode of season 2, Milk Money. The original air date was February 23rd of 2016.
You know how to say February. So that's good.
Oh, no.
Most people don't say that right.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
I've been doing it since elementary school.
Good job.
Since I learned.
Whoever your elementary school teacher was that taught you how to say February did a good job.
I can't pin it down to a specific year.
Okay.
But when I learned it's not February.
Right.
I hate it when people say February.
As much as when people say candidate or candidate.
Yeah. I mean,
or
I don't
have office
any
runner.
Room to talk, but I'm just saying everybody says it and I don't like it.
Okay.
This episode is directed by Paul Fox. This is 2 in a row for him. He directed the last episode, which will remain unnamed.
The office runner.
Right, the office runner. And this is written by Michael Short. This is his 4th writing credit in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, he is Martin's brother. And we talked about this a long time ago.
Yes.
And I noticed that he writes 2 episodes per season all the way through the series.
Hmm.
So we will occasionally hear from him.
Fun.
Hop back to older episodes to hear all about him and who his famous brother is.
Okay.
And we just told you.
Yeah. Hop back to old episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, there's not really much to talk about because we have spoken of these two people
right.
before. So we can jump right into the episode.
The breakfast.
The office runner's breakfast.
The candidate's breakfast.
Right.
And yes.
And I like it how Johnny and Moira come in and she says what it is.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, well, it can't be. There's a woman wearing cargo shorts.
Yeah, Moira is decked out in her gold lamé.
Yes.
Very fancy.
Very
shiny, as Twyla refers to her.
What is lamé?
I don't know if it's like
fabric?
The material.
Okay.
I guess.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I've heard that term.
Yeah.
I don't want to say
I think
a lot.
I think it's the material when it's like shiny gold like that because,
okay.
you know, who
like,
else would wear that but
like
Moira
laminate?
And the Golden Girls, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like laminate?
Lamé.
I don't think it's like flooring. What are you talking about?
Shiny? No.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, this is going great. This is going splendidly, folks. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
I don't know what I was thinking of.
No, I think it has to do with the fabric. I think it's like kind of thin and obviously shiny. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I feel like it's a very like 80s kind of fabric or 70s. I don't even know. I don't think people in 2020 are wandering around in a lot of gold lamé unless they're Moira Rose.
Well, I was going to say people in 2016 were.
Well, right.
And it was just Moira.
I don't think anybody else was.
Maybe. I guess when you talk about Golden Girls, that's a very, but I don't even, I mean,
I don't
80s,
know. That
yes.
might have been even too hip for them.
Yeah. 80s,
maybe Blanche.
Yes, but also the elderly? Was it like an old lady thing? No, but it's not because Moira's
not
wearing
sure.
it and it's stylish.
I feel like for some reason I associate it with like bathing suits and stuff. Like I don't know. But yeah, maybe like 80s fashion.
Yeah, because I feel like, all right, Robert Goulet's wife, I think she was his wife, in Beetlejuice, the woman who played his wife.
Okay.
Remember when they come over for dinner and they...
Okay.
They dance around the table.
Yeah, kind of.
Anyway,
it's been a long time
since
I've
gold.
Seen
that. She's in all gold,
okay.
like gold pants and a gold shirt and a gold
was
jacket.
Was it Catherine
or something.
O'Hara? Because
no,
she
wasn't.
Was in that. Okay.
No, I know. I'm aware of that. I don't know the actress's name, but her date or husband.
Okay. Gotcha.
She sat next to Robert Goulet at the table.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, already we talk about how we don't get off on tangents and we just get right
I
into
know.
The episode
Sorry.
Last time.
Sorry.
Already,
Gold lamé. Very shiny. Twyla.
And it's shiny. Twyla?
Twyla commented that she looked very shiny.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. I thought we were just leading up to the fact that
Roland referred to her as Elvis. Elvis, glad you mean it.
And it has a great laugh to himself.
Elvis? Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
It's like she doesn't get it. It's like she doesn't understand the joke. Not that she understands it and is just not amused. I don't think Moira understands why he referred to her as Elvis at all.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I didn't really notice much of her reaction, I guess. I just loved that he called her Elvis.
But then Jocelyn comes over, and of course there's tension between them.
Of course.
And
which
she
we
says,
started to see in the last episode.
Oh, definitely,
so,
yeah. I like how she says, what you're wearing is something people around here aren't used to or comfortable
right.
with.
Right, yeah.
And that's why it's so great.
Yeah, yeah, you're a hit. All anyone could talk about was Moira's outfit, which, of course, Jocelyn doesn't like because she doesn't want anybody talking about
I also
about
like
Moira.
How they just walked in here and it's all people have been talking about.
Well,
like,
right, yeah, where they saw her walking from the motel,
right.
I guess. And
well, who knows how long a walk it is.
That's
so
true. We don't really know.
People could have been passing her in their cars on the way here.
Maybe.
And it's all the scuttlebutt of the cafe.
I guess so. Scuttlebutt. Wow. Oh. You're pulling out all the stops here.
Yep.
Lamé.
Right.
Scuttlebutt.
But this doesn't really, I don't want to say this doesn't really go anywhere, but this is just the cold open to this episode.
Yeah, we switched pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's not like we're hanging out at the diner or anything like that, because now
it's
we're
a cafe.
In the cafe.
Yes.
So Johnny is now at Johnny's office.
At his office, right. In Bob's garage. Getting in trouble as usual.
Getting in trouble as usual for...
From Bob.
Borrowing milk.
Yes. Using the milk that was in the fridge.
Yeah. And I like how Johnny just basically says, like, I just borrowed a little bit of it. And I didn't realize until later he has the whole bottle. I mean, you know, Bob even says, you have the whole bottle. And he has it in his hand.
Yeah.
So he's just drinking right from this bottle.
Right.
And it's a big deal. And why is it a big deal?
Oh, because Bob said he would have to reimburse him for it. And it was
$7.
Which Johnny was like horrified about that because it is raw milk.
It's a tiny bottle too.
It's raw milk.
Raw.
It's a
you
secret.
Can't say that loud.
No.
Anyone outside this garage could hear you.
Oh, right. It's unpasteurized milk, which is illegal. And he is not giving up his supply.
Right.
Yes.
And I guess it's really good. I don't know any, like, I didn't do any research into unpasteurized versus pasteurized and what the taste difference would be. But they make
not
it
knowledgeable.
Seem like it's,
it must be amazing.
It must be a huge difference.
I guess.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, out in the middle of nowhere. That's
yeah.
What
Bob
you got.
Is super concerned, though. He doesn't want anyone to, he doesn't want to get in trouble for this. He doesn't want to go to prison because he knows that Gwen will not wait for him.
Gwen's already told me.
Right.
Which, it's funny because I'm wondering if this is just a conversation that came up like if you or if this is milk specific. If
Gwen is like, I'm not being involved in this.
Yeah, Gwen's like, I'm not cool with this.
Right. Yeah.
I cannot testify
this
against
illegal
you.
Illegal activity.
But
illegal milk activity. Right. Dairy activity.
Yeah, maybe that's why Bob has to keep it at the garage.
I guess so. Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's a good point. That it is at the garage, not you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So now we're back at the motel after this exchange, and Stevie apparently is running David to work every single day.
Yes.
And I assume this is not a new thing where she's ready to take him, but he is not ready to go into work.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. She's just sitting there waiting, like keys in hand, ready to go. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's not ready.
Exactly. But this is all so that Moira can come in and be very upset.
Yes.
Because she says, I am approachable in question form, but not really question form. More of a statement, because that's basically what David says to her.
Mm-hmm. And David even, she kind of questions Stevie, right? Because she said, you're the average Joe Ann.
Yes. Is this another... They do this a lot. Is this another instance of them walking into the room and not realizing for a little while that Stevie's there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, because
she and Johnny both do it.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, and she's sort of like spouting off a little bit, which she probably wouldn't had she known that someone else was there.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think she would have.
I thought it seemed like she was almost just a little bit like taken aback by the fact that she was there.
I think she's
an office runner now, so she's concerned about her image.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, I don't know.
I don't know, because this is just, again, Moira being Moira. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter what David was doing. It doesn't matter who David was talking to. If she enters the room, it's now about Moira.
Oh, totally.
Everything needs to stop, and all attention needs to be on her.
Yeah. Well, I like that she's just spouting off and kind of, you know, saying all this stuff, and David tells her she sounds like a dictator, which I thought was great.
Yeah, of course.
And Stevie then, of course, said, don't worry, Mrs. Furs, I would vote for you based on your outfit.
Right.
Which I thought was really cute, too.
And again, is that a joke? Guess it's a joke.
I don't know. We know that Stevie has a really good little sarcastic sense of humor.
Yeah.
So,
but I could also see Stevie and a lot of other people in this town being annoyed with Jocelyn just by way of Roland. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Stevie's the biggest Roland fan out there. And who knows? Jocelyn, I don't think there's that much of an age difference. I wonder if Jocelyn was her teacher at one point when she was in middle school, high school, there was never a reference to that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, now we're outside.
Yeah,
we're just suddenly outside, and where
Alexis is just
where's
off
Alexis
on a
going?
Stroll,
just walking down the street,
I
right?
Guess.
Just okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's not like earlier they said Alexis is going to the post office.
Yeah,
something.
Now
okay.
Now she's just looking super cute in her little like boho outfit walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And she happens to see a motorcycle passes her by and of course catches her eye because she's like, who is this person that's riding a motorcycle around town?
Right.
And surprise, surprise, it's no other than Ted.
That's right.
Ted looking all sun-kissed and muscly.
Oh yeah, he's been working
Hunky
out.
Ted.
Or...
I think he just combed his hair differently.
Well
let's be honest.
This is a question that I have now, and I'll certainly have this question as we go through. Because I wonder how purposeful it was. Even just saying, okay, we're just doing season one of this show, but if it continues, this is where this relationship is going to go. So let's not put him in short sleeve shirts and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, did he just get totally ripped for another movie role in the meantime, or a TV show, or was he always like that? But early on, they were just like, okay, you're in your scrubs, or even when people come over for dinner, you're going to be in a long sleeve shirt, so that he looks completely different. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe it's just weird me. Like,
right?
He looked different, of course, because he was dressed differently than we've seen him before. Right. But I don't know.
You don't
like,
know if
obviously
he was...
his hair was different, but I don't know that
You don't know that he
the body
hit the
was
gym
that different.
For
right.
His
yeah.
Season
I mean, that's what
return.
They want us to think, right. you yes. know, but he could have always looked like that. I don't know. I think it worked out to their advantage that they kept him a little bit more conservative, and then of course they, you know, decided like, okay, now we want to add peak Alexis's interest back into
and
him.
And that's my question is, did he show up and do his, you know, screen test and everything? And they were like, listen, hunky dude, you got to tone that down or we're going to cover you up for the first season. And then, we're going to bring you back. Here's where this character's going. So we're not saying stop working out. We're just saying we're going to put you in clothes that don't. Am I giving this more thought than it's... maybe a little. I don't know. I feel like they wanted this to be a... transformation of this character or revealing a side, because you would assume Alexis would know how super buff he was before,
right?
But she seems so surprised, like, look at you.
So,
now.
No, definitely, yeah. I mean, and they wanted to go for that factor, but like, whether he actually like bulked up in between season one and two, I don't know the answer to that.
I should look back at his
you should because he was in a
like,
lot of stuff,
doing?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, she questions him about where he's been, and he basically has been traveling because...
He went on the couple's vacay that was their honeymoon.
Their honeymoon.
Wedding trip.
Right.
I guess it was just a couple's all-inclusive.
Right, a couple's retreat that they then gave him
the broken heart special.
And it was an extra 3 days if he could prove to them that he didn't make it down the aisle.
Yeah.
Which is so embarrassing. But just the fact that he's like, all right, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, but he was like, I'm
kind of great.
Yeah, he's like, I'm in a really good place now. The beach really changes things.
Yep.
I think he made reference to crying with someone while he was there.
Yes.
Crying through it and working through it. And I like that she said it's kind of like if Sons of Anarchy had a vet.
Yep. Because what he's doing now is he's doing a lot of farm visits and house calls.
Yes.
So I guess it's just, you know, that plus the vacation. Maybe he came back and he's, you know, I don't think she's going to walk into the vet.
Right.
To
see him.
So who knows how long he's been back doing his thing, and they just haven't crossed paths until now. But that's it, everybody. Ted is back in the show.
Yes.
No sooner has she and Mutt called it quits and she has found herself.
Of course. Hunky Ted.
With one night where she cleaned up her motel room.
Yeah,
and now Ted is back.
And then there he is. Right. Yeah. Yep.
Just in case we were afraid that Alexis might be alone for too long.
Right.
So
no chance
now
of that.
We go to the Blouse Barn.
The Blouse Barn. Yes.
David's working.
Yep.
Blouse Barn looks very different.
Oh.
Of course.
Very different. He's done a lot in his short amount of time there. We don't really know, but yes.
And for as much as Jocelyn made fun of what Moira was wearing, she realizes that she needs a bit of a...
Makeover.
I'm just going to say a tune-up. I guess I'd say makeover. All right, makeover.
She needed to kind of spruce up her appearance a bit.
Yeah, yes. I don't think she's looking for gold lame.
No, she did have a kissy lips blouse, though, I wrote down.
Oh, is that what that was?
Kissy lips.
I did not.
Yeah, they were little lips on there, which I thought was super funny because that is not the way. I don't know if that competes with gold lame or not. I think it's still a little bit of goofy styling, which is... I feel like she's not as goofily styled here as she gets later on down the line.
Little,
you know how I notice her wardrobe, how it evolves.
Yes.
And she kind of is holding things up and looking for something. And she basically says to David, she's kind of unsure about how to approach him, knowing that, of course, it's Moira's son and everything.
Well, I think it's important to say first, she doesn't know he works there. Because I like how she goes... Are you picking out something for yourself? And the camera pans down to reveal him holding shorts that he probably owns. It's pretty funny because then he has to tell her, no, I work here.
Right. Yeah. And she is then kind of explains to him that she's looking for campaign pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows that, you know, she doesn't want to make it a conflict of interest.
Right.
And, you know, even though it is a little bit of a conflict of interest, David very cutely still helps her by pointing out some items and like moving things on the rack so literally that he's drawing attention to the one item that she should pick. It was that interaction between them I really liked.
It's really fun. And I like how, because what he's doing doesn't match up with what he's saying. When he says something in this area and pushes everything away to reveal one shirt.
Yes.
I also think it's a fun visual gag too, because when he does that, he seems to be just pushing away a bunch of other white shirts. Like, it's almost all the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's lots of just black, white, monochromatic kind of coloring and stuff. But yeah, it's a really cute interaction between them. Mm-hmm. So he's helping her, but very casually helping her.
Right. And it's fun, too, because he sort of sees it, like you said, as a conflict of interest. But also, this is his job, and he's good at it.
Yeah. This
and
is his thing.
Pick
his style
out a
and...
really nice, conservative, professional, let's say, Hillary Clinton-esque outfit.
Okay.
A little too stylish for Hillary?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
I don't know.
No. I don't know.
But someone on the campaign trail, someone in...
Yeah, like a nice, it's just like a nice suit, you know.
Right, yes.
Skirt, blouse,
lawyer-y.
Jacket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. But you would take someone serious.
But very conservative, though.
Oh, yeah.
Super conservative. Like, he did not put his David Flair into her outfit at all.
Twyla and Johnny are now in the cafe.
Yep.
And Johnny, of course, has raw milk on the brain.
Oh, yes.
It is all he wants to talk about.
Yeah. So he's talking with Twyla about it, asking her if she knows anything about raw milk or any connections or anything. And she's horrified because she's like, Mr. Rose, that's illegal.
Right.
And she had a bad experience with raw milk. She got it and it made people sick, I think, or something. I don't know.
That.
I had a note about that.
Okay.
So she, I think, was talking about a bad experience with it. So after that, I think she doesn't want anything to do with raw milk and isn't comfortable with it.
But this is also, Alexis shows up sort of in the middle of this conversation and hears about all this illegal activity and is very excited that her dad may become a drug dealer.
Yeah. Yeah. He would make a terrible drug dealer. He said he would make a terrible drug dealer. And she's like, no one would expect
you'd be a
great
drug dealer. Who's going to suspect you?
Right.
He decides his plan, Johnny's plan, because, of course, as all he can talk about is raw milk, all she can talk about is the fact that Ted's back in town and he looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says to her, hey, maybe you could get some idea from Ted.
He's working on all these farms.
Yes.
Yes. He would be a good resource.
Right. He may know where this raw milk is. She feels a little bit uncomfortable because she's like, well, he's my ex and everything. And I like how he says, your trail of discarded boyfriends is making it hard to get anything done in this world.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but she finally agrees that she will call.
Call Ted.
And Johnny says that he would like about 12 pints.
12
of raw
pints.
Milk.
Pints. Yes. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that is what he stole out of Bob's fridge is a pint of milk.
Yeah, I guess so. I think we jumped ahead a little bit because
we
kind of get back to the blouse barn.
Sorry, we did.
Where they're talking, and this is where David really kind of starts to dive in and help.
And this is where I wrote, because I forgot they were kissy lips, I wrote it was blue cheetah print that she was wearing.
Okay.
But it may have been.
Yeah.
I mean, you specifically wrote kissy lips.
I did write kissy lips, but maybe I didn't look at it right.
Right.
I don't know.
Oh, David's also working in white gloves, which I think is hilarious. I wrote that down.
Yeah.
All right. So we did skip ahead. We did all the stuff at the
blouse
barn.
Yeah, we kind of jumped ahead
early.
A little bit on that. It was just too much fun to talk about their shopping interaction and experience.
So let's go to the Jazzy Gals rehearsal.
Yes.
Moira arrives early or possibly on time. Everybody's there except for...
She and Jocelyn, basically.
Jocelyn.
Right.
But she wants to get to know.
Oh, yes.
Her
get to know each other. And if you have any questions, she pulls out some alcohol, like a bottle of wine, or I don't even know
what
she has.
It's like vodka.
It
or
might
something.
Be, yeah.
I think it's hard alcohol.
Yeah, and she has little cups.
Right.
So, yeah, she is ready to dig in with her fellow Jazzy Gals.
And I told you that on this episode, I did a deep dive into the Jazzy Gals.
Mm-hmm.
Because here. What we want to do and what we like to do, if this is your first episode, I don't know why you're starting with Milk Money, but maybe it's your favorite.
Maybe.
If characters have speaking roles, if they're credited, we do like to talk about them.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of Jazzy Gals, and some of them are never given individual speaking roles.
Right.
But they're all singing, so I thought we could talk about them. And also, many of them run through the entire series. Mm-hmm. They're always there. They don't change out. So Grace is the jazzy gal who had a speaking role. I think last episode, I think she said one word or two words. Mm-hmm. And she does the same thing here. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't remember if I talked about her, but she is played by Lily Connor. Mm-hmm. She is in 16 episodes of this series.
Oh, wow.
And she is currently in the miniseries Mrs. America.
Okay.
Where she's credited as singing delegate number one. So she must sing a lot.
I guess.
And she's in an episode of The Handmaid's Tale. And a television series has a great title called How to Buy a Baby.
Oh.
So maybe it's an infomercial. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Always credited as Jazzy Gal 1 is an actress named Mary Kelly. Mm-hmm. She's in 8 episodes of Schitt's Creek, including the finale. She is also a singer in Mrs. America.
Oh.
And was on the same episode of Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Jazzy Gal number 2 is Anne Dionysi.
Whoa.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So Tell us about her.
She only appears in 5 episodes of Schitt's Creek, mm-hmm. The last being Grad Night in season 3.
Okay.
She shares none of those other credits that we talked about, but she was in the TV movie Christmas Next Door.
Oh.
Christmas Next Door.
Okay.
As Caroler number 3.
Aww.
And in...
I wonder if that's like a Hallmark Channel movie.
It totally sounds
like
Hallmark
Channel. Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes. And in an episode of the TV series Good Witch and Flashpoint.
Oh, okay.
Her replacement as Jazzy Gal number 2 is Christina Song, who's in 10 episodes of the series. And she has a big role as the mom in the series Kim's Convenience that we've talked about before.
Yep.
And she was also in a movie called Kitty Mamas.
Ooh.
Great title. Even better plot. It is a comedy about 4 women who give birth to kittens. That sounds terrifying and bizarre, but that is a movie. Jazzy Gal number 3 is Jennifer Foster. She was in 17 episodes of the series, the most of any of them.
Okay.
And she's probably the most accomplished actress of the group, as she has more than 25 TV and moving credits.
Oh, wow.
Including a couple episodes of that series, Good Witch, that I talked about earlier.
Right.
Then we have 3 people just credited as Jazzy Gal.
Okay.
There's Jacqueline French in 9 episodes of the series, and was also in that same episode of Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
Divine Brown, she was in those same 9 episodes of the series. And a few other credits, including she was a performer in So You Think You Can Dance, Canada.
Wow.
And then Andrea Britton. She was...
Office Runner.
Yeah, Office Runner. She was only in 2 episodes of the series. And those are her only IMDb credits.
Oh, okay.
So I just didn't want to forget who we talked about and have to go back or in the future go,
that's
a different Jazzy Gal number 2.
All these ladies are super important. This is an important little crew.
Super important. And as
so
we said,
nice
like
to credit them.
Yeah. And they range from like 2 episodes to 19 episodes.
Yeah.
So they are
that's
around.
Pretty cool.
I'm wondering if some of them just play town people or in other episodes, but that's it. Those are all the Jazzy Gals.
All right.
So now... we
they're ready to drink
talk.
Up and
yes.
celebrate Moira.
Right,
so,
exactly.
As we leave them doing that,
yes,
we go back to Johnny. He's coming into the motel from, I guess, a day at the office.
Right.
Yes. And he walks in to 12 huge bottles of milk.
I would not. These are giant, like,
I know.
Cans.
What are they called?
Like
cans. Milk cans, I guess. Yeah.
I guess. What are
they?
Yeah.
They're cans. You're right.
We have one outside our house that we put a plant in.
We do. It's a decoration.
But we don't know what it's called.
A milk can.
Okay.
So,
let's call them
right.
milk things.
Like Alexis does?
Yes. Right.
Yes. She got him 12 things of milk. That's what he said he wanted.
Yeah.
So she totally missed pints.
And he's freaking out.
Oh, totally.
Because she's even like, you said things of milk. And he's like, no, I said pints. And she doesn't even know what that means. She's like, yeah. And she,
right.
And he even has to say, pints are little bottles. And
right.
he's using her hand to show her.
And then he finds out that this is $300 worth of milk. Actually, three-ish, because when she explains to him that was $394.40.
So I guess
they realize it's closer to $400.
Where is he getting all this money? Where is he getting this? Is he getting? Does he have to pool all of his unemployment checks in just to get this $400 to pay?
I don't know.
Ted's connection or whoever this is.
Yeah, but they're realizing they are going to have to sell to a lot of customers. Yeah. He's super angry. Right. Alexis is like, then why did you order so much? And he's like, I didn't. Yes. You did. So yeah, they have kind of a little bit of a shouting match.
Yep.
Back and forth over this
Thank
milk.
You for ordering an insane amount of milk that I will never be able to sell. And she's like, you're welcome.
And then since they're, I guess, ready to go out and peddle their milk.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're planning to take it to sell it, but they're on their way.
Yeah, sure. And again, I mean, if you're going to peddle illegal milk, would you go to the mayor
of
this town?
Which first of all sounds ridiculous.
Right, yes. But would you go to the mayor of the town? Especially a mayor who just wants to be your friend. Like, I get it. But also a mayor who's seemingly can't keep his mouth shut. And
he's
just
a little bit of a bumbling Mr. Right. Furley, like Furley-esque.
Mr. Furley. It's pretty great. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are
driving the milk.
Driving in Roland's
in
truck.
Roland's truck.
Without driving in Roland's truck. Roland is driving them in his truck. And because he says if anyone can navigate the dark underworld of the raw milk business, it's me.
Oh, they're taking it to a milk co-op. That's what they were doing.
All right. I did have that
in my notes. Right. And, you know, I guess it was Alexis apologizing. I'm sorry it wasn't more clear. Or Johnny maybe was saying, you know, I'm sorry it wasn't more clear about the ordering.
Right.
And then, of course, they encounter the police at
a random checkpoint. Checkpoint on this quote unquote highway that they're always driving on.
Yep.
And Roland, as we've seen time and time again in this series, if he's ever put in a pressure situation, he is flustered. He does not know how to
panicked.
React. From day one, when he had to lay on the ground and talk about gravel in his driveway because he was confronted by Johnny about no doors, we've realized, even early in the episode, when Moira doesn't get his Elvis joke, he is so thrown off and so uncomfortable and panics in that situation. Mm-hmm. I love this. And we'll get to this interaction in a minute. But just the fact that he doesn't know what to do. He's very upset.
Yes.
He's very scared of this. And he stops the car and tries to get out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty great.
Yeah, and Alexis tells him, just blow right through the checkpoint.
Yeah, just
like, you don't need to stop. You don't need to worry about it. Just blow right through.
So we're back at the Jazzagals. And the Jazzagals have been drinking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And having a great time. But Jocelyn shows up looking great.
Yes. Says she's glamorous and looks very approachable.
Sure.
And,
approachable, yes.
And then it must just be luck and a salesperson.
Right.
So she is totally on to this, that Jocelyn did not do that by herself.
Oh, yeah. She was wearing kissy lips or blue cheetah print. Not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she calls her out.
Yeah, and they're... I kind of like this because they're a bit snippy with each other, but also I do think they kind of enjoy this competition. Like it is, it does make it, as the Jazzagals said in the last episode, a little more interesting to have two people run against each other and two people this close in not just proximity, but they're both part of the Jazzagals and they see each other all the time.
Yeah.
So now let's get back to the milk.
Yes.
And they are approached.
Jennifer, Jacob, and also Jacob.
They're approached by a female police officer. Yes. She is played by Stephanie Belding.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly 60 credits in TV and film. Some big name stuff, some bigger name stuff now, like Working Moms.
Okay.
And she was in My Babysitter's a Vampire.
Oh,
I don't know why.
I feel like we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm. And she was in movies like The Void, which I've talked about before on this show, which is great. And 50-50.
Okay.
The one where... I think it's Seth Rogen and somebody else. He has cancer and like shaves his head in the commercials. If you remember, it was
maybe a decade ago.
And the superhero movie The Watchmen. So she gets work. So this is when it's full panic mode.
Well, right, because of course Roland's driving, so Roland is the one that kind of
has to talk,
has to field these questions. Yeah. And he introduces them as Jennifer, Jacob, and also Jacob.
I'm also Jacob.
Right, because Jacob. He couldn't even think of anything else.
And I like how before she even, I don't even know if she said a word, and he's like, would you like to see our driver's license? And he goes, just kidding, we don't have driver's license. And then he goes, we have them, but those aren't our names that are on them. This is...
Yeah, and then Alexis also specifies that her birth name is Angelica. Which is crazy. Right. Yeah. So the cop, the police officer, explains to them that they are out there looking for people that are that have illegal game.
You're right, yes.
Yeah.
Illegal
game. So I guess
they're
hunting out of season.
Right, yeah, because even when we were watching,
I'm like, are they like hunting tigers? Like what? Like
just a bunch
elephants?
Of jackalopes like, in the back of your truck.
It's like, what's happening?
But it's probably just out of season stuff. And I really do think this is probably one of Roland's best scenes in the entire series.
Oh,
like,
totally,
just
without
out
a
of control
doubt.
He is.
I love him in this scene.
Yeah.
Hands down. I absolutely love him. So yeah, he said, you know, they explained like they have no illegal game. They're just taking some milk to a co-op.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And she asks, of course, if they're dairy farmers, which Johnny's like in his suit. Like there's nothing about Alexis is, of course, like all dressed up and dolled up like she always is. There's nothing that would lead anyone to believe that they're dairy farmers.
We've talked before about how he looks like Eddie Albert in Green Acres. Mm-hmm. And that's how he farmed. But nobody else would farm this way.
Yeah. So she requests that he pull over. And he basically just sits there and doesn't do anything. Yes. And then he finally says, oh, I thought you were talking to the other Jacob.
Yes.
So, yeah, Roland was great.
I don't know how they're not all immediately taken to jail. Could you imagine dealing with a police officer like this? And then you have all this illegal milk and they let them go in the end. I mean, there's... Mm-mm. You know, it's not like they take them in. It's not like they run them
They
in.
Don't take them in, but they pour it out.
Yes.
So they got rid of it. Like it was, you know.
Right, I know. I'm just saying they're not arresting. I don't know. It's raw milk. Like,
right.
Like, what kind of crime is this really?
Right. I mean, and plus, like, they poured all of it out. So clearly done. Like, you can't sell it. You can't do anything with it. Your $400 cost that you're out, I guess, is punishment enough. I don't know.
Right. So now we go back to the motel, and Moira confronts David about styling Jocelyn.
Yes. She just arrived to check in with her son, asking him if he was enjoying his job and his customers.
Right.
And obviously she then says she saw Jocelyn, who looked like an aging stewardess from a Latvian airline.
Yep.
And then, of course, he goes, I told her not to wear that together. That's kind of like his first admission to it.
Right,
he didn't really say anything before that.
Yeah. The admission is basically how she did not...
style correctly.
Yeah, how she didn't listen to all of his styling advice.
Yes. Yeah.
And, of course, Moira's overly dramatic. Like, there's a knife in her back.
Yes.
And even David's like, okay, that's a bit much. And that's sort of how he gets himself out of the room and how this scene and really interaction and confrontation ends.
Yeah.
So now we're back and Johnny is dumping the milk out in front of two officers at this point.
Yep.
I like how he's the one doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
The other two.
Well, Roland
are
is still
there.
So flustered. Alexa says, I guess this is partly my fault.
Yep. Right. So then the police leave once it's all dumped out, and they basically have to put the containers back onto the truck, which Roland isn't helping with either.
No. Yeah, no.
And then that guy says, let's not end on a down note. This was a good day. Let's end on an up note.
Yeah. Yep.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Really great.
And that's where the episode ends.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's the end of the episode.
Yes.
Wow, this is so great.
So at the end of every episode, we like to rank this episode of Schitt's Creek. And we rank them from our favorite episodes to our least favorite episode.
Mm-hmm.
So if this episode were a bottle of raw milk, would you steal it from Bob? Or would you put it back in the fridge where it belongs?
Back in the fridge, yeah. I totally steal it.
Okay.
I love this episode, and I really think one of the reasons I love it is because, like we said, just Roland and mm-hmm. that whole interaction. Yeah. I love what they did with him. Yeah. Again, I know we talk about this all the time, that a lot of Roland is like you either love him or hate him kind of character, I feel like. And I feel like a lot of people dislike him.
I also think his appearances are really hit or miss, because mm-hmm. I think sometimes he can be a little annoying, and I know his character's supposed to be annoying, right. but I think sometimes it's a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this whole scene mm-hmm. of him in the truck talking to the police officer is amazing.
Right.
And I do. I really enjoy this episode. I like Jocelyn shopping at the Blouse Barn.
Okay.
I like the interaction, although it's short, like with Stevie and David, just yes. that quick little interaction that they have. I love that Ted's back in the picture. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there's a lot of high points in this episode.
Okay.
I would probably put it as my new number 7, I would say.
Number 7.
After family dinner.
Yeah. Family dinner. Moira v. Town Council drops down.
Yes.
I agree 100% with you. I'm going to put this as my new number 6, mm-hmm. just a tiny bit higher than you, but... And for all the same reasons, mm-hmm. I mean, I do think it's surprising if you had said that, you know, would Milk Money be one of my favorite episodes or would it be in the top third right now or something like that? I probably would have said no, because mm-hmm. from what I remember, I enjoyed that. I didn't remember how funny it actually mm-hmm. was.
Yeah.
And also the fact that it's like a Johnny episode, which you don't think are going to be great.
Yeah, because his personality is not quite as big as the other family members.
So I agree. We're still sort of right on with where we're putting stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's annoying, but at some point.
Right.
At some point, we will run into an episode that we 100% disagree on, but it's not happening today.
Yeah. I don't know. I do feel like we're pretty close. But
right.
And we don't ever talk about our love or...
Of raw milk?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't talk about that. But it's not like prior to this, we sit down and say, now, where are you going to put it?
Oh,
where,
no.
Like,
no.
We have no conversation about it ahead of time at all. So it really is,
this is
an on-the-spot kind of decision.
Yeah.
So, but this is, I think, a really fun
really
little
fun
gem
episode.
In the middle of
exactly.
Season 2.
Yeah. So, everybody, thank you for listening. And again, find us on Facebook and give us a little star rating wherever you get the podcast, if it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. That really helps us out. And we will join you again in 2 weeks when we'll be discussing episode 9 of season 2, Moira's Nudes.
Oh.
So we will talk to you then. Thanks again.
Warmest regards.
Thank you.